All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
What's up?
The safe word tonight is 500 because the Knicks have improved. The Knicks have broken even tonight, y'all.
So, safety words.
You already jinxed this. The show just started and you already jinxed this.
Put the kids to sleep. Because tonight, STK is back in the building.
Back, baby.
What's going on, y'all? What's going on? We got the gang in the building. We got Ed Dollars in the building. What's shaking, brother? What's going on? What's up?
Just, content watching the Knicks, seeing RJ do his thing with 32 big wangs.
That's right. We got the infamous Wall Street Heck. What's going on? Stocks up today? Knicks stock up?
The stocks are doing good. Knicks stock? Oh, man. Nah, man. Knicks stock ain't up yet. It stopped falling, which is important. You know what I'm saying? Knicks stock stopped falling for a second. Well, let's see what happens.
Yo, what's up? We're on a win streak. Man. What's up?
Got to diversify your funds. Yeah. And last but not least, the coach with the most. We got Coach B in the building. What's shaking, bro?
Yes. Oh man, I saw the game. All right, I watched the game. Kind of impressed, and we'll get into the details of what the Dallas Mavericks are doing today.
Coach was like, sometimes it's a hard watch. Anyway, tonight, the Mavericks, the Dallas Mavericks, led by Jason Kidd and Luka Doncic, came into New York and played some uninspired basketball. for the most part, it was kind of boring. I mean, I like RJ's play. I like Julius got it going early. You know, he did his thing. The announcers during the game were basically saying, if you play good, Julius, the Knicks will take the fans will take you back. And I'm just like, why are you so in your feelings? Like, stop being a millennial. but they played well. They did their thing tonight. And I mean, the score was 108-85, I think, right?
We dominated from the get-go.
Yeah, it was 108-85. We had some good numbers across the board. Luka Doncic played really uninspired basketball. He was a minus 24 and a plus minus. He had 21, but it took him 23 shots to get it. Julius Randle had 17 for a plus 29. The whole starting lineup was heavy in the plus minus.
Yeah, man.
That's the way coach likes it. Oh, RJ Barrett played 41 minutes.
Slow down. I want the whole team to shoot well.
He was directing the offense, playing defense, handing out popcorn, and was at the concession stand. He was doing it all tonight, y'all. So let's start with you, Coach. Coach B.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on tonight's game, man?
It was good to watch, man. It was nice to see that we could put a string of games together against West Coast teams that I guess aren't playing so well or don't have like. And Luka's a star. He didn't have a star day. Okay, coming off of the San Antonio win, very important to double that up with teams that we should beat. So it was great on that end. And the way RJ attacks is the way Julius Randle should attack, but for whatever reason, there's something missing. Like RJ, like he tries to get a paint touch. He tries to seal down low, and then off that aggressiveness, that physicality of hitting the defender, he's able to get open or make tough shots, which is interesting, because instead of that size-up game that Julius Randle does. But, great. Another great game for RJ. Shout out to him. And a great win for the team, even though there are a lot of sloppy moments. But to win by 20 is, all you can ask for. It's really good.
Definitely. Word. Wall Street, what were your thoughts, brother?
Good game, good ball movement. The defense was good. I thought RJ did a great job on Luka. I think that's what kind of got him out of his rhythm early. And Luka, sometimes he might, I don't know if he gets charged with being soft very often. I think he's tough, I think that he's proven that he could be tough. But a couple of times into the Garden, they played him tough and he's been a no-show. I thought that RJ was all over him tonight. And, as far as being uninspired, I thought I thought that was, you know, the way I feel like that's the way he hid the fact that RJ was shutting him down. It's almost like childish. It's like, you know what? This guy's locking me up. I'm going to start, you know, dragging my feet, keeping my head down. And, you know, I'm going to act like, you know, I didn't come here. I wasn't playing for real. That's what the teenagers said. I wasn't playing for real. You know, but it looked like he was being harassed. The guys touched on something last time we spoke, that Boston win, that we were down by 21 and we were able to rally back and come back. Even though we lost the next one, the following game, I thought we played well for the next two games. So, you know, I thought that we've been playing well. The ball's been bouncing around. The defense has been stepping up their game. We look a lot different without, and I hate to say it, we look a lot different without Derrick Rose on the court. We look different with Grimes getting some minutes. We look different with Emmanuel Quickly getting a little bit more of a nod to run the offense. Yeah, Nerlens Noel back. Yeah, we keep on, you know, and we didn't touch on that last time. You know, Nerlens Noel is a big point. He's a big anchor to this team, and we look a lot different when Nerlens Noel is doing his thing. So, yeah, you know, the one thing I would say, and I'm going to leave it at this, is that the one thing that I'm taking away from this season, because this season is a wash. Make no mistake about it. This season is a wash. The Kimball Walker
trade. You're starting already, man. Listen,
the Kimball Walker trade and the Evan Fournier is our one step back in the process. You know, it's two steps forward, one step back. That was a failed mission. But you know what? When it's all said and done, if we can get RJ, Emmanuel, Obi, and Julius another playoff run, even if we go down in four games, if we get them another playoff run, that's a win, because we're the Knicks and we suck. We're not even supposed to be in the playoffs. So, you know,
you're redeeming yourself a little bit.
So, you know, so, you know, that's the way I've been looking at it. You know, when it's all said and done, we might still get a little playoff berth, you know, and that would be big for RJ's development and for Julius's growth and the rest of the young guys, Emmanuel, Obi, Mitch, you know, but we're going to have to fill the same hole that we came into this year. We got to fill it again next year. What are we going to do about Evan Fournier? He's horrible. He's a volume shooter that is getting toasted on defense, you know, and we've been lucky that the shot's been dropping. But we said that before. The team looks different when Evan Fournier scores. But when Evan Fournier doesn't score, that's your coach. That's the basketball that you can't even watch, you know, is when Evan Fournier is not able to do his thing. But, you know, so if you want to put the Madison Square Garden on Evan Fournier's shoulder, then go right ahead. But, you know, when I look at the future of the Knicks, I hope not to see him. And I hope, and I would love him coming off the bench. I said it before he got here. I would love him coming off the bench. I think that he would be a rock star coming off the bench. But, you know, Coach Tibbs is Coach Tibbs. But I'll leave it at that.
Ah, definitely. Man.
Go fire. Finish. Burn it down, Heck. Burn it down.
Whoa, Ed Dallas.
What's up?
What's going on, man?
I mean, today was a pleasure to watch, guys. I'm not sure what you guys were watching. I was enjoying the entire game from soup to nuts. I thought that something's happening, and I mentioned this the last time we spoke, that shot that RJ hit could have propelled him. You know, he didn't play so well in Boston, but the last two games, in fact, you know, three out of the last six games, he scored over 30 points. The last two games, he had, you know, over 30 points the last two games. And today he was quite efficient. He was going to the rack. And one paradigm switch was the team was going through RJ. RJ had the ball in his hands. Usually Randall has the ball in his hands, and Tibbs treats RJ like a catch and shoot player. Somehow someone learned, and they realize that RJ is not a catch and shoot player. He's more of a playmaker. And I mentioned playmaking, which is a key ingredient that we're missing. And not that RJ is a playmaker, but he used his own pace to get the shots that he needed. He took advantage of the matchups. When Brunson, who's 6'1", was on top of him, he went right to work, right to the post, fadeaway jump shots. He made his threes. He was going to the rack. I mean, he played well, man. He looked good. Not only was RJ playing well, but Mitch was playing with some ferocity, man. Yo, they threw the ball down low, and he put it right in the bucket. I mean, he led the league in field goal percentage a couple years back. and he's starting to creep up to that same point. So, you know, Mitch was playing with a little more newfound desire. You know, everyone was talking about the weight that he put on coming into the season. I think he's starting to tone up or like kind of get comfortable with that weight, because today he really was unstoppable. And I'm not saying that Dallas was soft, and I'm not saying that they didn't come a little tired or whatever, but I think that the Knicks put the bones on top of them, and they just like they suffocated them to death, and they outworked them, they out toughened them. And you know, today was a pleasure to watch, man. Julius and RJ were playing well together. One other thing that I kind of noticed was that Tibbs staggered Julius and RJ. They weren't always on the court at the same time, which allowed RJ to not defer to Julius. One of the things that RJ has is, because he's such a young player, you know, he happens to be the youngest starter on the Knicks. He's only 21. Yeah, he's been in the league 3 years. But, you know, because of that and the fact that that Randle had a resurgence last year, naturally, RJ defers to Randle. But now that you stagger them a little bit, the ball's going through RJ's hands. He's not deferring. He's also passing it more often, more to the shooters. He's passing it down low. Say again?
He's a better decision maker.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, he's still young, man. He's still young. He's still learning, man. But the fact that Tibbs is starting to stagger it, I'm not sure if that's like by design or is that like by coincidence. But, you know, I enjoyed today's game a lot. And every game that we have is another game in the confidence bucket and another win in the schedule. You know, lo and behold, the last 10 games, the Knicks are 7-3. There was a lot of ugly wins, and we were bitching about all these ugly wins. But at the end of the day, those wins are wins, man. And we're climbing. Right now, we're tied with Boston. They beat us, so they got the lead, but we're tied in Boston. So we're one game, you know, a half a game out of the play-in. But we just got to continue, man. 7-3 in the last 10 games is not bad. And this was a formidable matchup. The Dallas Mavericks have been playing really good ball. They have a better record than us. They're in the Western Conference. It's too bad they didn't come to play, but it's unclear whether they didn't come to play or we took them out of the game. So I was happy about it.
Okay. All right, fellas. Yeah, it was a good game.
Shout out to Quick on that one possession too, where like he got the tip pass and then yeah. And he picked up Brunson full court and they forced the turnover. Like, yeah,
I mean, Quick didn't have a good game. Quick didn't have a good game.
There are no excuses. If you don't come to play, I take that. You're in
foul trouble too. You know, it's all right.
You got to come to play every night. There's no took the night off. Nah, you know. So here's my question to you guys, right? What does RJ's recent surge in production? What does that mean to you right now? Do you think it's a positive thing moving forward? Do you think it matters because the season might be a wash in Wall Street's words? Do you think it doesn't matter? Do you think it's just what do you, that's what I want to gather from you guys. What do you guys think of RJ's recent resurgence in terms of his play? And what do you think that means towards the Knicks or to you or whatever? What are your thoughts? Wall Street, what are your thoughts, your recent thoughts on RJ's
output? Yo, and I just want to touch on that. When I say a wash, what I mean is we're not taking a step forward from where we were last year. You know, last year we were a fourth seed, and coming into the Atlanta series, it was really kind of up in the air. I know Vegas had Atlanta. But, you know, you kind of thought like, hey, if Atlanta doesn't be careful, you know, the Knicks could win this series. You know, it's not going to be like that this year. If we get a play in, it's, you know, if we do get in, we're going to be facing a top seeded team and we'll probably be, you know, underdog in it, you know, again, but this time by a lot more because we're not going to be a four seed. But as far, yeah, anything as far as RJ's development. So we had touched upon it right before the season started. We thought we were going to bring in firepower, and that was going to be great because we thought that we were going to be able to develop RJ as a defensive player. And I remember last year we were arguing you know, and I like to do this a lot, player types. So you look at a new player and you try to see who he looks like. And we kind of got into a little debate where I was like, this dude looks like Paul Pierce. And I forgot who it was. I think it might have been Eddie that was like, I don't know what you guys see. It's not, he doesn't look like Paul Pierce to me. He looks like a Jimmy Butler. And as time goes on, I'm like, you know what? I was wrong. He doesn't look like Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce always had a lot more swag, a lot more playmaking ability. What Paul Pierce did that RJ does is he goes strong to the basket. So that's where I drew the comparison. But, you know, as time goes on, he does look like Jimmy a little bit. You know, he's probably Jimmy when he was 21 years old, didn't shoot the three-pointer this well. So maybe you know, he even has the leg up on that. So, so yeah, you know, RJ's development is great, but we wanted him to come in this year. I thought that we had hit that right on cue where we were like, RJ should come in this year and look to step up his game defensively. And when we saw the games play out, that's what it looked like he was doing. It looked like he was guarding the best player on the other team every night, and he was working hard. And he wasn't looking for his shot. He was looking for catch and shoot opportunities, right? Now he's looking to score, you know, through all facets of the game. He wants to get through the pick. He wants to get into his mid-range. He wants to get into his three-pointer. He wants to get downhill, get to the basket, get to the line. And, you know, so he's trying to create shots for himself. But, you know, we thought that, you know, hey, RJ, you know, you don't have to work so hard on offense this year. You could be a 3-and-D guy and really focus. And you're such a good player that might be a step back for you. So because it's such a step back for you, you might actually be a great 3-and-D guy, you know. But then, you know, the firepower is not there. So RJ has to kind of go back to this role of, like Eddie said, I'm a 21-year-old starting at the Garden. And I, on top of that, I got to carry us. And my number two is Julius Randle, which is great. But, you know, you would like to have more firepower. If you're RJ Barrett, you don't want to look down the barrel and see, you know, Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker.
Okay. Ed, what does RJ's recent growth spurt mean to you?
I think it means a lot, man. Honestly, you know, last week we talked about, we picked up number three in the draft. We weren't very good to get the number three pick. So, you know, we couldn't get John Morant and we couldn't get Zion. So this is our, like, this is the guy that could probably propel us. You don't tank the season to get someone that can't propel you. And, you know, back to Hector's point, which is an excellent point. I think that Tibbs was messing up and messing his development up because he was trying to make RJ into something else, which is a 3-and-D or some type of, you know, defensive wizard. And in reality, I think he does well with the ball in his hand. You know, he doesn't have the best handle. He doesn't have the best decision-making, but there's something about when the ball's in his hand, he's a little loosey-goosey. I don't know if you caught this, but the announcer was like, oh, he's playing loosey-goosey tonight. And it makes his game that much better. One thing about RJ, and it's probably because of Tibbs, he was in prior games, he got up when he was making his three-point shots. I think he's starting to realize that he doesn't necessarily have to make all his three-point shots, that he can actually go to the rack and get that game, that part of this game can propel him. The next phase of his development would be the mid-range. And I think that all scorers, all high-level scorers, no matter how inefficient the mid-range game is, that's how you make your bones, right? Like, the guys that can score in the mid-range are the best scorers in this league, period.
I think he got some of that right now. I think he got some of that right now.
I think he's starting to get that. And he's definitely going inside, and now he has this little turn-away, fade-away thing going on. And he's starting to use his strength. And not only that, but he's starting to get swag. So Julius Randle, you know, he's an okay player. He was all NBA player last year. He propelled us to this point. But we need more. And I've been preaching this from the get-go. You know, a post player like Julius can only get you to a certain spot. He needs to take a step back, and we need a guard, a wing or a guard to take us to another spot. If RJ can propel us and help us, that would alleviate a lot of the concerns that we currently have. And right now, the last six games, he's been playing well. Now, to be honest, he hasn't been playing well in totality for the entire season. This is a nice little segment of the season that he's really, really playing well. I like for him to continue and be more consistent and continue this attack mentality. And it would mean a lot for us as Knicks fans, for us as a Knick team.
Okay. Coach.
So, yo, great takes, first of all, guys. Definitely on that end, I think, like, it's okay. Like, it's fun to watch. It doesn't mean anything if, like, it's not against a good team, if it's not a close game and, you know, like, he has a 30-point game and the game winner, you know? If he has a playoff game where we're in a battle and, you know, he has a great game in the playoffs that leads to a win. Like, to have great games that leads to losses against good teams is one thing. To have great games that leads to losses against bad teams or teams that are not playing their best is something totally different, you know? So definitely it's nice to see him actually, you know, reach these numbers that we had expected from him. But now it's like, okay, now go win us a tough game. You know, take that next step. And for the team as a unit, it's like, are we going to run through him the rest of the way? Like, Derrick Rose is going to be back. Hopefully Kemba comes back. Like, are we going to continue to play through RJ the rest of the way? Or are things going to go back to the old norm where, you know, Fournier gets a night, Kemba gets a night, Julius Randle gets a night. And, like, for me, that's the concern I have with it, because it's great to see him go off. Like, you know, he takes the smaller guys into the paint, you know, and shoots the turnaround. He waits. He's patient, sits in the corner, catches the ball, attacks off the rip through after the closeout, and, you know, tries to create that way. Like, his decision-making is solid. You know, it's not as ugly as some other guys trying to force shots. So, for me, it's just like, where does this take us going forward? Like, is he going to be our guy when it matters most? Because, you know, against a bad team is okay, but I want more. I want against better teams, I want more.
Yeah, definitely. I think his development, his future potential where he lands is he ends up as a jack of all trades guy. Like, he's not great at defense, but he's good. Like, he'll never be a liability. He won't be great at scoring, but he'll be good. You know what I mean? Like, he'll, at one point you may see him average 26, 27, you know what I mean? Like, that'll be like his cap. I feel like RJ is the guy that, you know, he needs these moments. I was talking to Ed earlier before you guys jumped on, you know, the reason why you get, you know, guys like the Ja Morants and the Jalen Greens and these guys, they become these offensive juggernauts is because, number one, outside of, yes, they have great offensive talent, they also had the chance to bump their heads and had the ball in their hands to figure it out on the go. Like, you know what? Listen, because for these guys, they've been playing basketball their whole lives. So it's instinctual. You got, you know, yes, it's another level and you kind of get taken back by the speed of the game in the beginning. But, you know, it's your talent. Once your confidence and your talent and the instincts kick in, your game is your game, and however you apply it. RJ was the number one college player of the country a couple years ago. Like, this isn't a guy that's not talented. Like, he's got it. He can play, at least in my opinion. He just has to have these moments. And when you got a guy like Julius, who is obviously, from the fact of him doing this at the Garden and all that crap, When you got a guy who's in his feelings because he is no longer the guy, then you know, this is gonna, you know, at some point you gotta cut your losses. And, you know, Julius, I think Julius did well for him and his brand. But listen, he got you guys to this point, bringing, you know,
training. He got short arms for a hooper, so that's it.
Nah, man, you know, ain't no hard feelings. It's a business at the end of the day, man. It's a business. You guys have been surviving the Knicks for all this time. You swap it out. If you got a bad engine,
I think you can stay.
Like, loyal to that bad engine. Oh, man, it can't came with this car, I'll never give up on it. No,
you know, the unfortunate part. The unfortunate part is that the last 3 years, he's been our best player. He's still our best player, right? I mean, he's still averaging the most points, rebounds, and assists. The ball is always in his hands. If the ball's out of his hands, it's like by design or because he's just not having it. When you're the player and then you see someone coming up the ranks, it's a big ego thing. Like, can he literally, you know, give the ball up? You know, there was a part in today's game, I'm not sure if you caught it, when the Garden was chanting RJ, RJ. And Julius had the ball. And then RJ was posting up, you know what? And I was like, I was waiting to see what Julius going to do. And he passed the post. He actually tried to pass to the post and RJ cut and he threw a bad pass. And I'm like, damn, man. And I'm wondering in my mind, was that by, did he really do that? Or did he really want him to shine
that? Yeah, he's speaking off the guy.
No,
I don't know. But you know, from an ego thing, it's hard, man. You see someone coming up and you've been the man. And this guy is kind of overtaking you or almost overtaking you or people want him to overtake you. It's a heavy hand to you.
Do you think that's when the money factors more than the wins?
Well, he got the money already, so it don't really matter. I think it's all about pride.
He got paid like good job, man. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. Julius Randle, very interesting.
There's some rumors that Cam Reddish, another ex Dookie who was, you know, a teammate of RJ's from back in the day. What are you guys' feelings on Cam Reddish who might be coming to the Knicks? I mean, it's picking up steam. It's on ESPN Insider. Usually, 8 times out of 10, when it ends up there, it means that there's really some talk about it behind the scenes. What do you guys think? Do you think that we giving that the Wall Street thumbs up, or are we going, is that not a good move for the Knicks? Coach, what is your thoughts?
It's a thumbs up, man. Really, like, there's Miles Turner's out there. That's another great look. Definitely, I'm not a fan of trading the picks at this moment. So, like, I guess the Kevin Knox train is over if we're talking about Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish is a solid defender, you know, could be a great shooter if he ever gets his act together. But there's a lot of he needs a lot of good things to happen for him, you know, and like he needs more freedom. I was just talking about it one of my guys, I forgot. But yeah, he mentioned that Cam plays better when out without Trae Young in the lineup. So it's like, well, he's not going to get that kind of opportunity to dominate the ball here. So, like, what does that mean for him, you know? And but definitely as far as being a defender, probably possibly being a younger version, more athletic, more gifted, Reggie Bullock, it's possible, you know? Well, there's always a potential factor there. So, I hate the word potential at this point because I want to win now. But, it's a good look for the team, especially because he has great length and great size and his measurements are comparable to Paul George. So, take it.
Ed, what are your thoughts on that trade? If it's even a thing, like if
do you Cam Reddish is nice. Cam Reddish is nice. Cam Reddish is what we wanted Knox to be. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but when he played for Duke, people were saying, low key, Cam Reddish is better than all everybody else.
Yeah, that's
like his dimensions were like he's 6'9, 6'6, 6'10. He's fast, he can score. He's like, you know, he is like a Paul George type of player, which is so weird that Atlanta is so quick to get rid of him. You know what I'm saying? Like Atlanta has so many players that they're wary on paying the next player. And I think he'd be up for a contract extension next year. And they just don't want to pay him what they think that he would probably get, which is between 60 and 90 million bucks. So I think it's a money thing. If the Knicks could get him and maybe trade Fournier or maybe trade whoever, you know, unfortunately, Knox is definitely in that situation. I would absolutely trade him. But then that tells you something more about our timeline. Like that's another 23, 24 year old player. And then we still have Julius. Does Julius really fit the timeline? I would trade picks for Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish is nice. What was that?
What'd you say, Coach?
Kevin Knox. I think Kevin Knox and Cam Reddish got the same amount of 20-point games. Well, you know, free Kevin Knox, man.
No, I'm the biggest Knox fan, man. I think that the Knicks did him dirty. He didn't help himself by being dumb at certain times, but Tibbs is not the right coach for development. And like 2 years ago when we had that interim coach, he was trying to become an NBA coach. So he wasn't trying to develop him either.
Yeah.
And he's going to definitely get traded or he's going to leave in free agency. And we're going to really see if he can really stick. But back to Cam Reddish, everyone knows this guy is like super duper talented. Hawks want to get rid of him, not because of a talent thing, because of a money thing. And I think that these are the opportunities that we have to try to get for, you know, and, you know, it's just more about the asking price. What do they want? You know, can we, if they want Alex Burks, is that a good trade for us?
I mean, you're not going to be able to get even a pastrami sandwich for Kevin Knox. So you're going to have to throw.
No, you're not going to get. You're going to get a second round pick for Kevin Knox. Is always going to be a throw-in player, unfortunately.
Wall Street. What are your thoughts on this trade? Is this a trade you pull the trigger on? Or are you kind of like, eh?
I mean, if I could get him for Kevin Knox, I'll take a pastrami sandwich for Kevin Knox right now. So I'll take anything.
Wall Street, you're delusional, Wall Street.
Come on, man.
This is OB at the three right here. This is one of those.
And unfortunately, Coach might be right. They may want OB for Cam Reddish. So do you trade OB for Cam Reddish?
Oh no.
Let's assume in a perfect world, in this world, that the Knicks aren't getting rid of Randle. And we don't got a point guard. So look at OB today. And again, I'll give you my answer. My answer is I wouldn't trade OB for Cam Reddish, but without a point guard. With Julius Randle, what do we have in Obi? Obi played 11 minutes today. You know what I'm saying? He's just running up and down the court. If you don't have a point guard, you're not going to get someone to get the ball to him. He's never going to realize his full potential. So if he's never going to realize his full potential, we got to trade him to get someone else that fits the mold that they want to play in, unfortunately. Now, I wouldn't do that, but I feel like the Knicks want to.
Hey, yo, Wall Street, I threw your pastrami sandwich.
The problem is that looks like a gourmet pastrami sandwich. You can't get a gourmet pastrami
you
sandwich.
You want a bodega?
But Kevin Knox is a bodega pastrami
sandwich. What is pastrami, by the way? What is that? What is that pork? Like, what's pastrami?
The mixture of delicatessen meats.
I'll take you to get one of the best pastrami sandwiches next time we're in Riverdale. Next time we're in Riverdale visiting family, nearby they sell the best pastrami sandwich.
I'm gonna get a pastrami sandwich tomorrow. I haven't had pastrami in years. I'm gonna get one tomorrow.
Don't get it from a deli. You gotta go to a delicatessen.
So Wall Street, so without the pastrami, are you making this trade? Would you make a trade for Kevin?
Would I make a trade? Yeah, I trade. I give him. And I love Alec Burke, but you know he's not our starting point guard. You know, I would love Alec Burke coming off the bench. I think that we could have a bench mob if they just, you know, and with Quentin Grimes playing the way he's playing, Coach, you don't give Quentin Grimes a couple minutes. You know, I know it sounds crazy, man, but you know what it is with Knicks fans, y'all want to win, y'all want the championship game to start tomorrow. You want it to be one game, and you want us to win it. You want everything now. You got to understand. We got to develop a core. Phoenix didn't get it in 1 year. Look at how long it took Philly to build just so that when they got to the top, they could crumble, you know, and it's hard. It's hard. So you got to take everything that you could get, you know, I appreciate Julius Randle to date right now. I appreciate Julius Randle more than Carmelo Anthony. Because Julius Randle.
Crickets. Yo,
come on.
Let me tell you something.
This is Julius Randle. You're doing so well.
Stop it, Wall Street. Stop.
How many playoff series did we get under Melo?
We got a couple. We got a 50-point. We got a 50-game win season.
A couple. Exactly. Two. Okay. So Julius Randle is halfway there in like 3 years Okay. Another thing that he was able to do is he's able to do it as a team player.
You know, that first year he didn't exist. Marcus Morris took all the shots. Come on, yeah, man.
But what we got with bullshit. What we got with Melo was a scoring
champ.
Come on, don't do that. Don't do that.
Come on, man.
Julius
Randle got us in half as many playoff series as Carmelo has already. And you know what? You're right, Coach B. That's what 1 year totally lost, having to play behind Marcus Morris. So if it wasn't for Marcus Morris, we would have probably gotten into the playoffs the year before, because that year was a wash. And let me tell you If you're Julius Randle, you got to be furious, because you played great basketball and the Knicks owe you 2 years of your professional career. One is the Marcus Morris experiment, and the second is the Kimba Walker. Let me tell you something.
Yo, so
you
blame every team he ever played for. Blame.
Off he's going on a rant. Let him rant. Let him rant.
Yo, if he wasn't ready,
he wasn't ready. Yo, we need a segment. We need a Wall Street rant segment.
By the end of this season, if we continue to play well, like you said, we're 7-3 over the last 10 games. If we continue to play well, we'll get a second playoff series. That's as much as Melo has done for us. Literally, that's as much as Melo has done for us. The Melo years, the moment Melo came into New York, I knew that Madison Square Garden on Nick Knight was more like Ringley Brothers, because it was going to be a circus. Hey, wonderful to watch. It's fun to watch a circus. Everybody loves a circus, but right, it ain't fucking winning basketball. All right. At least Julius wins basketball games, you know, and he does it on both ends. Carmelo Anthony had a mental disorder. He was actually happier to score 30 points and lose. All right. And this is on the record. He would be happier if he's dropped 30 and lost than he was if he dropped less than 30 and won. That is on record. All right.
He wasn't happy with Jeremy Lin. Insanity, I tell you that.
All right.
Clip this whole joint. Please.
So now if you Julius Randle, you played with Kobe, you know, you moved around the league. You just gave your best years to the Knicks, and one of those years they gave you Marcus Morris. Another one of those years they gave you Evan Fournier and Kimba Walker. So now, when I'm looking at Julius Randle, he's not having the best season of his life. Who would? Your environment is an absolute nightmare. Could you imagine if Julius Randle was a Clipper right now? If Julius Randle was a Maverick right now, you know, you probably wouldn't hear his name. You probably wouldn't hear his name. Yeah. Nah, he would be playing ball. You know what he would be doing? He would be giving you about 10 points, but his assists would be above 5, and he would be giving you those 10 rebounds every night. And nobody, let me tell you something, nobody wants to play with Julius Randle. Julius Randle plays rough. He's jamming fingers. He's throwing elbows. He's knocking people down. He's out there. Julius Randle showed up for a fight, and a basketball game broke up. That's the kind of guys that you want on your team. That's the kind of guys you want on your team. Melo, for me, that was a great show. You know, it was fun to watch to watch that kind of basketball, but we're trying to get a little bit of a culture change. And we on the cusp of it. We on the cusp of the culture change with guys like RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley and Mitchell Robinson. But that could all go away very, very fast. So you got to be careful. And we wasn't careful. Let me tell you, the last thing I'm going to tell you right now. Last year, we had a chance to make offers at the 1 and the 3. For Russell Westbrook and Gordon Hayward. And we didn't even bring those guys to the contract negotiation table. And then the next year we do Kimba and Evan. This is a nightmare situation if you are Julius Randle. Who wouldn't be frustrated? And you know what RJ Barrett and Julius Randle have done over the last 10 games? They say into management, okay, experiment is over. We're going back to volume shooting. And volume shooting is good during the season, but it doesn't win playoff games. And it's not so gonna
Cam
win.
Reddish is coming? No.
I mean, get that pastrami sandwich set already, and we'll send you Kevin Knox.
I'm gonna get one tomorrow, yo.
So fellas, so check this out, right? So tonight on the boards, we got Canal in the building. We got Clearview in the building.
Canal, what up, man?
Clearview, Canal.
Right. So
if you, what up, bro?
Kunal said Randle needs to get traded. Basically his time is up. Daniel likes Reddish on the Knicks. He said he's been big on him for a minute. He likes Knox. He like, you know, but Reddish has more edge. There was some pushback on your Randle versus Melo comments, Wall Street. But you're controversial like that.
All I said was I appreciate Randle as a Knick more today than I ever did Carmelo Anthony.
Right. Didn't say that.
You started there. Then you went a little, you know, you went a little haywire.
And you went into the Wall Street rant. Wall Street rant.
Wall Street
rant. That's a new segment, yo.
You know what it is? Hey, you know what it is? Is that I feel like every time I'm about to make a take, I look down. Coach B is under me. I look down and Coach B's like this. I get hot.
Here we go.
In the beginning, this sounds crazy. In the middle, it makes a little sense. And then, you know, yeah, we back off it. We back off.
Hey, listen, all right. Last bit of news around the NBA. Not really a lot going on. We got, you know, teams are starting to separate from the pack. I want to ask you guys about Ja Morant. So Ja Morant, they were playing against the Warriors. He bust their ass. Told them he was gonna bust their ass, backed his words up, and then a fan, a child. In a Warriors jersey, attempted to give him a high five, and he dubbed him.
And he mean mugged him. He literally intimidated him.
What are your thoughts on Ja Morant? Listen, man, I loved it. Don't try to shake my hand if you ain't got my jersey on. Like, what you talking about? Ed, what are your thoughts on Ja Morant?
You know when D Rose won that MVP. You know, D Rose was like amazing, right? He was athletic. He was a monster. He was just scoring, but he didn't like talk trash to the other team. He was not a trash talker. Ja Morant is D Rose with the trash talk. He talked trash to a child. He was like, why are you wearing a Golden State? Come on, man. Yo, this guy's the truth. And he's definitely currently. The Grizzlies are in the fifth position in the Western Conference. And him and Desmond Bane have one of the best, you know, backcourts in the league. Mm-hmm. He's going to get definitely MVP consideration. This guy's a league pass player. I love the way he plays. He's athletic. I mean, that, you know, him talking trash to that kid is one thing. Him snatching a rebound off the backboard way past the box, way, like a foot above the box, is just things you want to see on a basketball court. I think he's amazing. You know, he was the number two pick. We got the number three pick. It was, you know, it's unfortunate. I always think, man, if we had Ja Morant, where would the Knicks be? Exciting player. You know, if the Grizzlies keep on climbing, don't be shocked if he wins the MVP.
Okay. All right. Bold prediction. Okay, Coach, what are your thoughts on Ja Morant dissing the child?
As a competitor, as a hooper, you love the fire. You know, as a fan, you know, it's like, yo, like, show the kid some love. Like, come on. Like, are you serious? Well, definitely – I respect it, man. Wholeheartedly. Like, you know, like at the end of the day, I respect it. Like, it is what it is, especially after playing your tail off, you know, like after a great game, do what you want. Like, have that edge. Bring that kind of energy back to the game. Like, a lot of people in the game are soft, so good for him.
It's cold-blooded, man. I love it. He's not giving a weak thumbs down to the crowd.
I love it,
man.
He's
in the crowd with the people. I don't care. I look in your face.
I love
Wall Street, what are your thoughts?
I think you know, Ed is right. If they continue that climb, you know, he's gonna get the MVP. Now he's gonna get, you know, at least the MVP consideration. The numbers are there, the talent is there. He's different. He's like something that you never even seen before. You know, it's like he's a combination. You guys were talking about Derrick Rose, and the first thing I said, with way better handle, you know. Derrick Rose had a sharp crossover, you know, crossover and hesitation, you know, but Derrick Rose was super duper explosive. He didn't need a lot of moves to get by you. All he had to do was wait till you plant your feet and I'm gone, right? John Morant, Derrick Rose was strong. Yeah, you know, he had a lot of things, you know. But
a lot of players said that, like, they would be like, yo, Derrick Rose has strength. He moved past you. Like, if he couldn't break you off the dribble, he would just move you. And it was that kid was Derrick Rose.
But John Moran is looking like the sauciest player of all time. He's like spaghetti out there. I couldn't imagine what it's like.
Maybe not the sauciest, but he's pretty.
Listen.
Who's saucier?
Kyrie Irving, but it's close.
Kyrie is saucy, man.
Okay.
Well, John Morant is saucier with athleticism. Like, you know, he's got the little jab plus the athleticism to jump over people. So,
it's
incredible. It's like he's like a new generation player. It's like something that we really not seen before. You know? The next mold,
right? The next mold. I think he's definitely athletically. You've only seen that in a couple of players, and like Russell Westbrook, Derrick Rose, and it's like another step. It's like another level at his height. Yeah. He's only like 6'3", a buck 80. Yeah.
He's got more touch than Rose though than Westbrook. Yeah. My bad. Uh-huh. He's like Westbrook is all raw athleticism. Exactly. This guy's kind of like silky smooth with the athleticism.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got that old school mentality though. It's like, it's Grizzlies or nothing. Like we ain't, you know what I'm saying? Like they beat the Lakers. He said LeBron is jersey. Like, yo, you didn't ask for it, but I think you should have it. It's like, yo, nah, because on the real, the Lakers are in the conference. And if, you know, the thought process is if we come across them, listen, we coming. And I think another point, Wall Street 2, you pointed out, and I think, you know, with the Grizzlies, right? They started out slow this year.
Yeah.
Then he went down with that ankle injury or whatever injury he had. And the Grizzlies went on like a crazy win streak without him.
Yeah.
Where they won on defense and grit. I mean, they smacked OKC by like 100 points in one game or whatever. Like it was bad. Like they were beating people that, you know, people were making money off them in Vegas because there were games they were supposed to lose and they were winning and it was like, wow. And he come back and they lost the first game he came back and they were booing him. Shout out to John Morant for being smart enough to be like, you know what? I need to adjust to this team because this is how they were winning and I need to get with that program. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, yo, I'm back and I'm ready to run this. No, it was like, nah. They were winning without me. So now I need to get with that program. And it's kudos to him, man. And again, surviving the Knicks. Just one pick away.
Always, always, always. Surviving the Knicks. Love a theme, Steph Curry, one pick away. John Morant, one pick away.
Like you couldn't get Zion. You could at least give you John Morant, right? Like,
right? Yes. Damn.
It is what it is.
RJ, though. We got RJ.
Yeah, got RJ. RJ's doing this.
30-point plus games in the last six games. That's not bad.
I just want to say this. I keep on thinking about it. RJ and Zion are boys, you know, maybe down the line.
We'll get Zion. Okay.
We'll get Fat Zion. We get Cam Reddish. We get the whole Dookie squad.
Right now.
You see what I'm talking about, Coach? As soon as I said that, Coach was like,
"Yo, he's super talented, but come on, man! Y'all be trying to bring in all the troublesome guys, man."
Krispy Kreme.
Oh
Give me somebody that's established. That's, you know, that's not gonna work into being a professional. That's already a professional. Sheesh.
Oh man. Well,
you need fellas, the opportunity picks.
Fellas, great show.
Ain't trying to give a pick. Come on now.
Great show tonight, y'all. Appreciate y'all for stopping. Any last words for the people?
Anybody? Yo, big shout out to Lance Stevenson, man. Big shout out to Lance Stevenson.
Shout out like, to Lance Stevenson.
Out the league, you know, got back to Indiana, and it's like he never left. Like
dropping like, buckets. Come on. Dropping buckets.
Fun. Always been fun to watch, too.
Wall Street, got any last words for us, brother?
Early on in the season, we talked about the Nets. I was saying, listen, I'm not even going to be surprised if the Nets have a very good regular season. I don't think the teams like that can really carry it over to the next level. So the Nets are having a pretty good season. They facing Chicago right now. Chicago, I think it is that they're playing right now, and that's probably going to be a good game. I'm hoping to catch the second half of that game. I don't know how far along it's going, but I'm watching for the Nets. My big prediction for the Nets is the Nets to continue to fly high and then fall on their face in the playoffs.
A Knicks Nets first round looms.
Maybe. James Harden is out of his slump.
I don't know.
All right.
Ed Dallas, what's the word of the night?
I'm looking for the Knicks organization to really establish themselves and kind of look at these last couple games and the future games before the trade deadline to see who we want to be, what we about, you know, what we can become. So it's time for them to do their job and make the fans happy. So let's see what happens.
Word. And I look forward to doing more Reach. Podcasts with this stellar crew who never lets you guys down. You know,
yes.
Provide the facts as they are. Respect it or not, you gotta respect it because it is what it is. They've been surviving the Knicks for a very long time.
Yes, we have.
They're not sugarcoating nothing. They're not sugarcoating nothing.
I'm 22 years old.
Yeah. Yo, appreciate y'all, man. That's the one. That's the one.
Yo, we got to get that Wall Street rant. We need music. We got to get like a rock music behind that. We need something.
I'm 22 years old. Listen.
We got to get a Wall Street rant.
Have a good night.
All right, boys.
Tomorrow, get pastrami. Tomorrow's pastrami. Tomorrow. I don't care what it is. National Pastrami Day. I'll let you have a good night. Be safe. Peace. Fellas, great job, y'all. Peace out. Talk to y'all soon.
Thank you.